Open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9. We'll continue on with our adventure and creative love giving. Father, we thank you for your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, who teaches us and guides us. He shows us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. You've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can open up your word and we can learn from you. Jesus said to learn of him, take his yoke upon us and learn of him. Every time we get more and more revelation of who Jesus is, when we get more and more faith in our hearts, and we praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Get my seeing things on here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9. Says, as it is written, he is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God for the administration of the servant, not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer power, by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You know, he prospers us. He gives us the ability to be a blessing. He blessed us to be a blessing. And that's one of our deals, is to go out into the community, out into the world, wherever you may be, in the highways and byways. And I've been trying to show you different avenues to give into the kingdom, different ways to help people. You know, we can give into every good work. It'd be a good thing to look for different good works, different good things. You know, there's Bible students you can give to. There's missionaries that you can give to. There's Gideons. I got a really, really cool story about the Gideons. Some Gideons showed up at our home church in Wyoming one time. And I was getting ready to go to Bible school. And I had $500. I had $500 in my pocket. And then I was going to leave to go to Bible school the next day. But I was doing it all by faith. You know. But anyway, these Gideons were there. And they told about all this stuff. And God said, you know, you need to give them $300. And I said, well, okay. So, at the end of the service, I gave him $300. And I thought, well, okay, $200. $500 would be better, but I can roll with $200. I can make it from Wyoming to Texas on $200. So anyway, that night before I took off, they took up a love offering for me to go to Bible school on. So I walked out of there with $4,500 instead of $500. But see, he can take what you have and multiply it back to you. And in that instance, it was an immediate return. You know, it was just it wasn't a shot in the dark. You know, I heard God. You know, now I could have sat there and I could have said, well, God, I only have $500 and I got to go to Texas tomorrow. But instead I said, well, okay. I rolled out $300 and walked out of there with way more than enough to get to Texas and get established and get into Bible school and be okay. Amen. But it's up to us to hear him and then go ahead and jump out of the boat, be willing to go ahead and do it. Yeah. We can give into the fivefold. You know, it's a terrible thing that the church has fallen into to think that all the money should go to the pastor. And one of the most irritating things I've ever heard was they call these evangelists and missionaries and all this other stuff para-ministries. You know, para, like a parasite. That's irritating. They're part of the fivefold. We have prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. All five of them are just as relevant to the church as one. You know, it's not just pastors. It's the full fivefold ministry. And I have made it a point to make sure that the full fivefold ministry has come through this church behind this pulpit and preached to make sure that everybody gets exposed to the full fivefold ministry. We've had prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, and evangelists in this building at different times. It's very important. See, that's 100% of the ministry, the fivefold. Now, if all you're ever influenced by is a pastor, well, guess what? You're 80% undone. God, Jesus gave these gifts to the church, the full fivefold. And it's very important, if you know one of these, to help them out. Amen? What happened in the book of Acts, we see in the book of Acts, that the full fivefold ministry were joined together in union. And they had the same goal in mind. And what happened in the book of Acts? Miracles happened all the time. The church was added to daily. Now, if the church would just get the greed for money out of the way and let the full fivefold ministry operate, this thing would just explode. And obviously, you know, in some small bodies, you're not going to have the full fivefold represented, you know. But there's some big churches, and if the pastor didn't think he had to drive around in a $200,000 car and would just get the full fivefold in operation and let them do their thing, the body would blossom. The body of Christ would just bloom in such a glorious way that the whole world would take notice of it. Instead, what do they notice? They notice, the world notices $15 million mansions. I'm not against living good. You know, the ministers should live good. But the full fivefold should be intact in those big bodies. And I'll tell you something. You could give the same assignment to each one of the fivefold. You could pick a scripture to each one of the fivefold and say, you preach on that scripture. By the time they get done with the body would hear five different angles on that scripture. You'd hear a prophetic angle, an apostolic angle, an evangelistic angle, a teacher's angle, and a pastor's angle. All five. Now you see why it's so important. You know, you're not going to get it all from one guy. And if one guy thinks he's going to give you it all, he's nuts. That's why I made it such a goal to bring in these different ministries so people could see thee. We'll march another one in through here at some point. Was any of you here? Well, there was a few, but when Oop was here? Did you encounter Oop? No? Everybody should encounter Oop. He's a prophet. And I would love to have Wayne Myers come through here. You guys have met Wayne Myers. There's nobody like him. There's nobody like that guy. Glenn and Ann Smith were very, very fun ministers to witness. I'll keep bringing in these different ministers at different points just so people have a idea of what it is. And besides, if somebody doesn't ever get exposed to something, they might not know they are something. You know, somebody may wonder, has God given me some kind of a gift? And they may not know it until maybe they get in front of a prophet and that prophet talks to them and that spirit starts rolling inside of them. Amen? Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tends to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Now, turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1 says, cast thy bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon earth. So, this is a universally taken as an expression meaning blessings will be returned to one who is generous and hospitable. Look back here at verse 2. It says, give a portion to seven and also to eight. You notice that? It didn't say, give it all to one. So, give a portion to seven and also to eight. One is advised to give a portion of his bread to seven or eight, several or many, for no one knows when he will need bread from another for himself. Be a good neighbor. Be a good neighbor. Give here, give there. Doesn't have to be grandiose. It's better if it's simple. Amen. A simple little thing here and a simple little thing there. Open a door for somebody. Help somebody out with their groceries. Buy some groceries for somebody. Buy a meal for somebody. Be generous here and there. What you're doing is you're casting your bread upon the water, and that bread goes out on those waves. The thing about waves is they come back. When you put it in God's hands, He multiplies it, and it comes back to you. Pretty soon, something will hit, and you'll wonder what you did to put that blessing in motion. I mean, because you're just sowing seed, and all of a sudden, one of them overtakes you, and you're sitting there thinking, well, I can't remember doing anything that would cause a blessing like that. Well, guess what? The one thing you did was you put your trust in Jesus. Amen. That's what caused that blessing. And then you put some seed in His hands, you put some money in His hands, and you let him get creative about the multiplication. Amen? I mean, it's simple little things, but you just keep doing these simple little things, and then pretty soon they just start coming back to you in waves. Waves. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. And he said, men, I've heard people, and I know they did it on purpose. They say, give, it'll be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall be given in unto you. You got to stop. You get your pride out of the way. You go back. It says, shall men give into your bosom? Didn't say God. We know that it all comes from him anyway. But he'll use people. He'll move people. Put them in your path to cause them to be part of his blessing. He'll use people to bless you. And you have to just be humble enough to say, I have received that in the name of Jesus. One thing Wayne Meyer said is, give to live, live to give. You cannot live a selfish life in the shadow of the cross. You can look at yourself as a hose, basically from heaven to earth. You're getting fed water, this living water from heaven, and you're just letting it flow through you into the world to water other people. Here's an interesting thing. I thought this was just so cool when I finally realized it. There's all this water flows down out of these mountains and down into the Dead Sea. All this water goes into the Dead Sea, and it just stops there. There's nothing goes past the Dead Sea. And it's a dead place. There's no life sustained there. It's no good. It's just dead. On the other hand, there's streams of water coming down into the Sea of Galilee. And it comes in these several places, and then it goes out. It goes out. And that place is streaming with fish. It's streaming with activity. There's all kinds of life. It's supported life for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. There's, I don't know how many different kinds of fish are in that thing, but it's still productive. There's still water coming in, and there's water going out. Some of the most dead people I've seen, they were physically alive, but they had flows of income coming in, and none going out, or very little. They were tight, and miserly, and greedy, and lifeless. And not much really seemed to turn their motor. On the other hand, some of the most lively people I've ever come in contact with had flows of income coming in and flows of income going out. That's getting it out. Wayne Myers, he can't give it away fast enough. That man... There's only been a few people I've ever come in contact where I've actually felt love just radiate off of them. It was when I come in contact with him, that love of God was just, you could almost feel it with every heartbeat. It was a boom, boom. It was just there, that anointing of that love of God was just flowing through him. Also, the money just didn't mean nothing. Money meant, money was for giving away as fast as he could get his hands on it. You know, and then what happens was more and more people would get in contact with him, and more people would want to get involved with what he's doing. And so he had this ability. He has this ability, and he's done it all over the world. He'd go into an area, and he would go in there and preach to these people, and he'd get a group together, and he'd tell them, "You build the walls, I'll build the roof." So he just put it out on bulletin, said, "I got a roof in Tanzania, I got a roof in Mexico, and I got a roof in South America, and I got a roof over here that needs built. Anybody want to build a roof, just get on board." We built a roof. We needed a roof. We needed a roof for our house. And we didn't have all the money we needed to build that roof. So I said, "Well, why don't we just build somebody else a roof?" Next thing you know, we had enough money to build our own roof. See what I'm saying? Americans seem to know the cost of everything, but they know the value of very little. So many times people will take $20 out of their budget to say, "This is going to be for the church." And they'll put it in the bucket and they'll say, "That cost us $20. If they would just stop and look and say, "Okay, in God's hands, what I have, what I put into his hands, has value in the kingdom. Has true substantial value in the kingdom." What you don't realize too many times is when you take of your finances and you put it into the kingdom, God can use that to get somebody born again. This is where it gets really cool. See, now, when you realize that, you know, like with me, I was up in northeast Wyoming, and after I got born again and got going and finally realized that, hey, man, somebody gave an evangelist some money. Actually gave a couple of them some money. And they put some gas in their trucks. And they drove all the way from Texas, all the way to northeast Wyoming to preach to a bunch of crazy cowboys up there. And they knew that at that meeting, there was only going to be 20 people. So they weren't going to get any big love offerings. But they were willing to drive all the way up there and as far as I know, I might have been the only one that got born again in that meeting. And it took gas to get them up there. And they had to have money to buy a Bible so they could put a Bible in my hand. And they had little books that they gave out so that I could learn how to pray in the name of Jesus. You see how all this stuff works? It takes money to get people born again. Did you know that? That irritates religious people to no end. I have one of them say, well, by God, I'll tell you what. If God wanted somebody to get born again, he just sent somebody over there to get witness to. And I said, yeah, but that somebody that he told to go over there and witness to him is sitting on his butt in that pew. And he won't get up off his butt and go over there and tell him about Jesus. So he has to get an evangelist to go down the road and tell him what you won't tell him. And he looked at me kind of funny like that. Well, don't play religion with me. These guys go all over the place. And some of the stories, they live sometimes literally believing God for a bologna sandwich and a tank of gas to get to the next place. Amen. I really like Glenn and they really, it was not easy for them out there running around in a pickup, preaching, believing God for their next bologna sandwich, believing God for their next tank of gas. And then all of a sudden somebody gave them a RV, said, man, you got to have a place to sleep. You can't be sleeping in your pickup all the time. And then somebody gave them a nice pickup so you have something to drive around in. And so they pulled up to a rodeo. They're still believing God for their next tank of gas and their bologna sandwich. But at least they look good getting there. But then these other churches, they said, man, there's some money in that cowboy preaching gig. So they pulled up to a rodeo and there were three denominational preachers at this grandstand fighting over who was going to do the service. They didn't understand. They didn't know. Man, somebody said, I want to take care of this. I want to be a part of the kingdom, you know. My pastor flew around in an airplane. He'd go to Montana and he'd fly over to South Dakota, you know, and he'd fly around different places and then go preaching and stuff. Somebody was kind of cussing about him having an airplane. I said, I'll tell you what, I'm glad to give money into that ministry. And he gets in that airplane and he flies up to Montana to preach to 10 people every week. Nobody else wants to go there. And then he flies all the way over to South Dakota to preach to 10 people because nobody else wants to be there. I said, he's getting people born again in these places. I'm glad he has an airplane to fly around in. Amen? He's getting around to places that nobody else wants to go to. People really don't like talking to me about finances. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Okay, verse 1 literally says to restore. You know, when you find somebody overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore that person. Bring him back to his place in Christ. Help him out. Don't pounce on him. Don't judge him. We don't judge. That guy weaved when he should have wobbled. He made a mistake. Help him get back. There's so many Christians running around that made mistakes, and they will not darken the doorway to another church because they got judged so harshly and treated so wrongly by people in the church. So they said, I don't need this. They look at it and say, man, with friends like you, who needs the devil? You know, I used to say, man, one of the things they teach about in AA is that you go in there and you find a minister, talk to him about your past and get it out in the open and get it cleared. I thought, you know, my hometown, I thought that's a good place to do that, because I know that if a minister ever makes a mistake, they run him out of there like a rabid dog. It's bad. It's sad. It's sad, but he's gone. He's toast. I mean, get the lynch mob out. So I thought, I'll tell him whatever I need to tell him, because if something ever goes south with him, he's gone. I'll never see him again. But unfortunately, it happens to church members too. You know, somebody may be struggling, and sometimes life is a struggle for some people. And the church is the ones that need to be around them and nurturing them and lifting them up. Amen. Inviting them to church. Say, come on in. I said, but I did this. I said, I don't care. Jesus paid for it on the cross. One thing, I'm just about as unreligious as you can possibly get when it comes to helping people. I've told several people, more than several, I'd run into them and I witnessed to them, and I'd say, you need to come to church. I said, I don't know. I said, I'll tell you what. Why don't you have a toddy and then go to church? I said, you mean have a drink before I go to church? I said, yeah. Are you serious? Yes. 1,000 times, yes. Religious people look at me like I'm a rabid coon when I say that. I'm going to tell you something. Some of them guys, if they try to go cold turkey, they die. Their body's shut down. Their body's physically shut down. I've seen that. They lose their mind. Some of them will commit suicide. Some of them, they'll just go ahead and just die. You know, your body gets physically dependent on alcohol sometimes. And so what I tell them is that you have a toddy and go to church. That gives God a chance to get his word in that man so that he can have an effect on his life and that guy can survive. God will clean him up. I've never, ever caught a clean fish. Not once in my life, and I've caught a lot of fish. I've never seen a clean Christian walk through that door. Every single Christian has some kind of issue that God is dealing with them and cleaning them up on, helping them out with. You know, and we're all taking these steps. Amen. We're works in progress. We need to always remember that. So we don't judge. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, we don't have to go there, but it says to examine ourselves, considering ourselves. We don't exalt ourselves as being above the same fall. How would we do that? And this is how it's done. Well, if that was me, I wouldn't have done that. Really? Have you ever been in their shoes? I mean, honestly, if you've never walked a mile in another man's shoes, you have no room to say what you would have done one way or another. So you're not to judge. Your job is to pray. Your job is to exhort. Your job is to encourage. Amen? You have no idea what the pressure some people are under. You know, there's some people walking around and they're that far from physically hurting somebody or themselves. They're ticking time bombs. They're just walking around and they don't know how to deal with that pressure. They don't know what they're going to do. They don't know. They don't have an outlet. This is why it's important not to mess with people. You know, this is one thing I learned in Wyoming. They're not polite like they are here. You run your mouth off, you're going to get your nose tore off. Believe me. You learn some manners. You learn some respect. Not just counterfeit manners. You learn some respect. You learn to start looking at people and say, what's that word, cuyo? Don't mess with that one, man. Just leave it alone. I told a judge, or not a judge, I told an attorney one time. They were asking me about somebody and said, well, this other guy's afraid. I said, well, yeah, he should be. And the attorney said, no, the law says this guy can't do this stuff. And I said, God says that man shouldn't have been sleeping with his wife. The other guy, he has every reason to be scared. They never did have a productive conversation with me ever again. They're right and wrong. I don't care what the law says. There is a right and wrong. And unfortunately, the laws have been placed in a position where it's illegal for somebody to just go ahead and whip another man's butt if they're doing wrong. You know, there's just some things that are just not right. And so people lose that respect. But see, one thing you got to be careful of is don't get caught saying that if that was me, I would have done this. If that was me, I would have done that. I've had a lot of people come ask me about certain questions, you know, is one of those things, and they'll say, well, what do you think? I said, there's a chance to save this thing. If we look in here, I don't have any ideas. And they say, They look at me and they get frustrated. You know, what they're trying to do is they're trying to con me into picking a side one way or another. So I'm not going to do that. So God joined this thing and I'm on his side. So let's see if we can, is there anything we can do to make this better? Is there anything we can do to resolve the situation? Is there anything we can do? One guy finally just got frustrated and divorced his wife. And he told me so, and I said, well, I don't blame you. But, you know, I wasn't going to take his side. I wasn't going to take her side. That's not our job. Our job is to encourage, pray, exhort, build up. Amen? That's our job. Not judge. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you, Father, that every time we take your word in our heart, that faith happens. When we see Jesus in his grace, faith happens to us, and we're able to operate in it. And I thank you, Father, that we can become so bold in the grace of God, that we can be strong witnesses in our community. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.